I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about relief from chronic pain. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Now, hang on a second, because you might say, I don't have chronic pain. Many people do. I can practically guarantee you, though I hope this doesn't come true, every one of us is going to face chronic pain at some point, and I could not believe how wise and fascinating this book is. If you suffer from chronic pain, you know when doctors or friends don't believe your pain is as bad as it is or even real at all. You might be in that opioid loop, addicted to strong painkillers, because what can you do? Stay with me, because chances are we are going to face this. Every single person is going to have some kind of chronic pain, I think. We are featuring a specialist who has explored the brain chemistry of pain. Those opioids often increase pain, though you couldn't be blamed for being terrified to get off them. I'm so glad I read this book and arranged this conversation. The book is The Pain Antidote. It's about alternative therapies for chronic pain. Most important, Dr. Pohl believes that your pain is horrible, it's intolerable. The way the brain works, pain receptors can misfire, and you could be caught in that terrible loop and see no end to this. You're not living your life, but you can, says Dr. Pohl. What have you got to lose by listening to our conversation right now? His book is terrific, and we will send it to you, as you'll hear in this hour. Dr. Pohl is a board-certified family physician specializing in chronic pain and the addictions that can accompany chronic pain. He has co-authored 15 books on addiction. Thank you for this one, Dr. Pohl.
My pleasure. It's great to be here, Faith.
So let's get to pain is real. How often those in pain feel ashamed and suspect that people don't believe them and can't understand.
Yes. 100% of the time, pain is real. And unfortunately, both in the medical system and in families and support systems, what tends to happen is there's this conundrum of, I think it's really our discomfort culturally with the concept that somebody's in pain and we can't help. So certainly speaking as a physician, I want to help people. I want to help them get out of pain if they have it. And you can just imagine the real torment it is for somebody who cares about somebody. So what does our brain do? It rejects the premise, and we look for evidence that this isn't something that's really happening. The problem is that they've been dismissed, in essence. These are folks who go to the doctor's office, tell the doctor what it is that's troubling them, and there's a subtle roll of the eyes or checking of the watch. There's a form of dismissal, and the cost of that disbelief is basically your physician and your family and your friends are saying, we don't believe you, you're a liar.
Even if it's subtle. And as you point out in the book, there is no measurement. We don't have some kind of device that can say exactly what this person is experiencing. So you say your pain is what you say it is.
It is a subjective experience. We don't have a painometer that we can hook people up to. There are sophisticated measures with a functional MRI machine that are at certain research centers around the country where we can calibrate someone's experience. But for the most part, it's really how much pain are you in? And we have this very crude 1 to 10 scale that we talk about in the book. And my co-author, Kathy Ketchum, and I tried to define that scale a little more clearly. But the bottom line is that what you say your pain is what you say your pain is. And the way this works is that I get approached a lot by people who say, well, you know, I'm not sure if it's real pain or if it's emotional pain. Which do you think it is?
Well, what is that connection?
The answer to the question is yes, it is emotional and it is real. So the real fact and I think the key turning point in my understanding of pain was that thoughts and feelings drive the experience of chronic pain in every single person that has pain. And until and unless those are dealt with, the pain is not effectively dealt with. So the very best surgeon in the world, the very best medication regimen is not going to have a chance at changing the overall phenomenon. And this is based in brain science. I mean, this is the part of the brain where pain is experienced is the protective part of the brain. It's associated with fight or flight. It's associated with self-preservation. We feel pain to, you know, it's a warning that something's wrong, so we take away the pressure on a joint, for example, if it's sore, so that we don't injure it more. In the case of chronic pain, that signal gets almost corrupted and turns into this reverberating circuit inside the brain that is driven by feelings like anxiety and anger and fear and depression.
It's mysterious to me to try and figure out why nature did that. Usually these things are protective. Maybe it is to, you know, after an accident and lots of pain, the brain often depresses the person to keep the person quiet. But this is really something.
Well, what you're describing is the function of pain, and in the case of acute pain, which is a time-limited beginning and an end, and it's gone and it never comes back.
Uh-huh.
What we're talking about today is chronic pain, and chronic pain is a maladaptive process. So, yeah, I have chronic back pain. I whine about it all the time. It's in the book, and my back pain generates from a disc that's bulging and pressing on a nerve. Mm. But my experience of pain really has very little to do with my back. It has to do with the midbrain, which is where the pain signal registers. And over time, my brain actually becomes sensitized to the signal from my back. It thinks it's important, but I'm here to tell you that it's not. I can do everything that anybody else can do. I can hike, I can climb, I lift weights, I mean, I've scuba dived, I could even stand on my head if I knew how to stand on my head, but that's not something that I was ever able to do.
Yeah. So pain rewires the brain, in other words.
That's right. And the real key to what you asked about is that it's maladaptive. This is not what God made pain for. This is not the purpose of pain. Purpose of pain is protection. Chronic pain is almost a corruption of that system, a distortion of the system, and it becomes almost like a memory. I mean, those of us that have had any kind of frustrating experience in our lives know what it's like to get caught in that loop of thinking about it and worrying about it and replaying the tape. And that's really what chronic pain is like.
So, you know, when you write in here that from your experience, all these patients that you have treated, your conclusion is that about 20% have physical and the rest, the 80%, is emotional. So fear, anxiety, anger, guilt, grief, and helplessness. Those are the things that get triggered, I guess, the second the brain detects that the pain is there.
Yes. And the real issue is that we have thoughts about the pain. My favorite work to do with patients is to point out what we would call faulty thinking or cognitive distortion. So, for example, my back is killing me. Well, if it were killing you, you would have been dead 30 years ago because you've been saying it's killing you for the past 30 years. So, but that's a very powerful statement, Faith. I mean, to really state to yourself and to anybody who's listening that a part of my body is killing me, it has a huge impact. And of course, if I'm dying, then I'm anxious and I'm frightened and I'm depressed. And again, it sounds almost self-evident, but it's not. You know, when I call people on their words and I point out, we had a woman who had chronic headaches and she said, if I go to group, my head's going to explode. Well, no, it's really not going to explode. You're having a pounding, throbbing sensation in your forehead, and it's very unpleasant. But the story about exploding heads is really made up.
Uh-huh. And it seems to me that people say these things as dramatically as they can to convey their fear, and to get others to understand that they're suffering in agony, tortured.
Yes. Yes, so they want whatever they want, you know, whether they want attention or they want sympathy or they want medication or more often than not, they want some form of relief.
Yes.
And it's not forthcoming. You know, the more agitated and anxious and frustrated and fearful you become, the more pain you actually have. So it's this paradoxical process of just settling into the fact that my back is really tight this morning. Period. And staying with that fact and acknowledging the fact and seeing what might happen in my body that might change the experience of that pain. And that, you know,
this is what you do.
Solutions. Yeah, it's what we do. It's what we teach. It's what the book is really all about.
Yes.
Is taking those thoughts, you know, reframing them, telling the truth. We encourage people to write about them so that they really can explore to the very extent what's really going on. And we have one exercise here that I do with patients where we ask people to identify why they might be holding on to their pain. And the kinds of things that come up are very significant, sometimes as simple as I don't have to go to work, or I don't have to get out of bed in the morning when the kids are going to the soccer game, or I can take as much medicine as I want, or, and then some of these really subtle sort of deep down issues in people that they come in contact with is that I don't deserve to be out of pain. You know, I'm a bad person. I've done terrible things in my life and this is my punishment. And that's really faulty thinking. You know, that's not how, in my understanding, that's not how the world works. But for people with chronic pain, that's often how they experience the world. And that's really the meat of the work for people to get free of some of the tenacious holding of this pain.
Is that always true, that there's some deep psychological issue? Or
it's a good question. I'm not going to say always, because I'm sure some people listening are going to say, well, I'm fine. I was raised in a terrific household and nothing ever happened. I mean, I just had a patient who was admitted, and that's what she said. She said, no, I had a great, no trauma in my life. And as I got to know her, she told me a story about how her mother was absolutely undercutting and demeaning of her sense of self, and that she hasn't talked to her mother in 8 years because her mother literally, is what the patient said, cut me off at my knees. And this woman is here because of arthritis of the knees.
Mm-hmm. This is a tricky conversation, this part, because it gets into, I know you know, I'm sure people will say, oh, are you victim blaming? But I get your point. Your point is that there can be these powerful psychological components here when pain is in the body. So, Dr. Pohl, stay where you are, because I wanted to let our listeners know we are here with this book and happy to send it to your door. I read every word cover to cover, and I don't have any chronic pain at the moment, and I hope I don't, but I can imagine we are all at some point, or we know somebody, we're going to face this. And so I did this to educate myself, and it is powerful. This is really smart stuff. So here is the number if you can make a contribution of $6 a month. We are delighted to send this with our thanks to your door. 1-800-584-2788.
And that number again, 1-800-584-2788. As Faith said, for a gift of just $6 a month as a monthly donor here at WNPR, we're happy to send the Pain Antidote book on to you. A really comprehensive look at pain and how it affects the lives of people with chronic pain, understanding beyond just the normal pain that some of us might experience, but knowing what it's like for, maybe if you don't have it, understanding what it's like for someone dealing with chronic pain, and for those who do have it, helping them to understand what is going on in their bodies, why this is different from normal pain, and how to cope with it without the worries of getting addicted to painkillers that maybe haven't been helping. It's a really comprehensive book, and I think we've only started to scratch the surface of it here, Faith, and it's so important that, you know, this is the type of show, Faith, that you bring to people exploring these topics that need a deeper dive and that people maybe haven't thought about, and bringing important information to them. And it's contained in this book, which, again, we're happy to send along to you for a gift of just $6 a month by calling 1-800-584-2788.
Well, thank you, Michael Palmer. You know, I sometimes get credit for having what really is the focus is that the smart people on the show, when somebody writes something or does something that we think has to be shared, that's the joy for us. And so this is one of those things where I think this is so important to have as a resource on your shelf, especially to know that this has to do with brain wiring, that this kind of chronic pain is not your fault, and that, of course, it's a struggle to deal with something like this. And you know, wild thoughts can be in your head and that aren't helpful. Brain scans and what they tell us. I mean, it is really terrific. And the solutions, this doctor is not saying, I can eliminate your pain, but he's saying there are things to do to have a life back while you have your pain, just as he has this bulging disc and is, you know, he says whines a lot about the pain in his back. So I love the book. I really do. 1-800-584-2788.
Then again, that's for a gift of $6 a month. You can see more information about the book at our website. Go to WNPR.org. Look for the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. There you can see information about the Pain Antidote book. It's a 300-page softcover book by Dr. Mel Pohl. And again, we're happy to send this as along to you as our way of saying thank you for supporting the programs here, especially the Faith Middleton program. She brings these wonderful books to you every time that we need to ask for money. Faith brings these fantastic programs with unique books that really serve a need, and this is one of them for sure. Again, the Pain Antidote book by Dr. Mel Pohl. We're happy to send it along to you for your gift of $6 a month right now at 1-800-584-2788 or WNPR.org.
We're going to talk, as we go back to our conversation with Dr. Pohl, as he discusses in the book, that there are these powerful pain meds, and no wonder you turn to them if you've got chronic pain. So understandable. It turns out that certain ones increase the pain, and no one has understood that until the newest research on this. But, you know, of course people are scared to get off them because they think they're going to be worse. Why wouldn't you think that? Wait till you hear this. This is coming up with Dr. Pohl. Thank you. Here is the toll-free number for a contribution of $6 a month, our gift to you. And thank you for listening. 1-800-584-2788. I'm Faith Middleton. My guest is physician and chronic pain specialist, Dr. Mel Pohl. He is author of this new book, The Pain Antidote. I just wanted to say, Dr. Pohl, that we'll get into this later in depth, but this business of pain meds and that some of them actually technically, physically make the pain worse was such an amazing idea to me.
Yeah, it is to most people, and it's particularly challenging to try and convey that information effectively to my patients, because really what I'm trying to make the case for is for people to consider cutting back or even discontinuing their medications. What we found in treatment was that's what we do. We do it in the treatment center. We detoxify people from their medications. And by the way, there's a disclaimer and a warning several times in the book that should not be done just because you're listening to this show. I mean, it really has to be done under the supervision of a medical professional prescribing those medications.
Yeah.
But that said, we have the expertise to do that here in Las Vegas, and we take people off their medications. And I'm talking about high doses of medications that probably most of your listeners wouldn't even consider taking, like 300-400 milligrams of morphine a day, or OxyContin 80 milligrams 3 or 4 times a day. So significant doses. When those drugs are gone, the pain level often is less off the medication than on the medication. And that's a phenomenon called opiate-induced hyperalgesia. Opiates cause more pain.
You mean that the brain thinks there's more pain, or there actually is more pain?
Well, you know, you bring up the key point. If the brain thinks there's more pain, there's more pain. I mean, that's the real subtlety of what we were talking about in the first segment, is that emotions, thoughts, feelings are all wrapped up. I mean, we can't extricate what we think and feel from the experience of pain because it's all the same. It's in the circuits for emotion are inextricably linked to the circuits for pain.
Yes.
So whatever's in our mind is the pain. But that said, what happens is, what we talked about earlier is this is maladaptive pain. I don't need my back pain. However, my brain thinks I need the back pain, and it actually does some things. The nervous system kind of has this phenomenon called wind-up to perpetuate the pain. When a doctor comes along with an opioid like hydrocodone, Lortab, or Vicodin, or methadone, or morphine, the pain level is brought down from the outside by the medication taken. And the next thing that happens is that my brain makes chemicals to elevate the pain level. It says, uh-oh, pain's gone. We need the pain. Now, you and I know that we don't need the pain, but the brain in this case, in the case of chronic pain, has changed so radically that it has pain-preserving measures that are enlisted when opioids are ingested. And the net effect is more pain on the opioids than off.
I could not believe it when I read this. So here's a quick story. 25 years ago, I'm in a car accident, and the pain I was in, I was in bed for about 6 months, and the pain I was in was breathtaking. I'm almost pass out pain. I would be gasping for air. It was so intense. If you had said to me at that point, and for quite a long time, we think this is not good for you to have this, I would say to you, are you out of your mind? So
yeah.
I want to address that in case someone in pain right now is saying, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so it's a fair question. And what you're describing is acute pain, you know, post-car accident, time limited. You know, so we're really talking about pain that lasts for weeks to months. And the purpose of that pain is to spare the body any activity. You know, as you said, you know, you get depressed and you go to bed. But once the tissue heals, that pain goes away. And that's what we want to happen as the body heals. And the need for treating it with medication goes away. What we're talking about today is what happens if that pain, God forbid, had not gone away. What then? And there are methods to deal with this chronic pain that's not going away. And the data says that taking opioids, these medications, narcotic opioid painkillers, actually isn't a good solution. And the real key here, Faith, is that we want to make people's lives better. I mean, if we give people medicine that takes the pain away and they are in bed as a result of it, or they have such intractable constipation that they want to kill themselves, or their mind is cloudy, or their sleep is disturbed, which are all side effects of the opioids, not to mention an increased pain level, the attempts to take the pain away become futile with medication. And that's where we get into this trap. You know, doctors have prescription pads, people want to be out of pain, and the pain antidote is to take a different mindset and become aware of some of the realities that contribute to the experience of pain and work on systematically dealing with those.
Let's get into that, because we certainly have talked about the pathology of this probably enough. So let's flip it over and say, just as you gave that example about your own excruciating pain in your back, and that you whine about it a lot, and you understand that your brain is going to be hijacked and your feelings are going to be hijacked, what are some of the things you do as you start to feel the pain in your back?
Well, the very first thing that I personally do is I just notice that it's there. So, I mean, I'm sitting in the chair. I haven't had really any awareness of the pain while we've been talking and concentrating, but you brought it up. Thanks a lot. And now I have an awareness. So the very first thing I do after I notice that it's there is take a breath. The breath is extraordinarily powerful. When we inspire, we actually expand the lungs and we activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the relaxing part of our brain that we're innately equipped with. And it counteracts the sympathetic nervous system, which is what puts us on alert and makes us anxious and fearful. So just by breathing, I mean, I had a patient in with me who had a 10 out of 10 pain, was crying, and he was this very macho guy. He had terrible disc disease of his back, and we did breathing for less than a minute. Deep, slow, controlled breathing. And we have about 10 different breathing exercises that are associated with meditative practice in the book. And after 1 minute, his pain went from a 10 out of 10 to a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I said, what do you think about that? And he said, well, but it's going to come back. And I said, good news. You know, there's another breath after that one. It's not like taking a pill and having something from the outside change me. It's getting a hold of our own intentions and our own thoughts and feelings. But part of what happens to people is they really want to fight against the pain. They get tight. They resist. They're angry. And those, of course, as we've talked about, will make the pain worse. So I get angry sometimes when my back hurts. I don't like that my back hurts. You know, I'm not a saintly guy. I mean, I get really frustrated, and sometimes it'll manifest in my behavior. But the key that we think is really essential is the awareness to notice, oh, it's my back. And I have a bunch of different stretches and postures, and I drink a lot of water when I'm uncomfortable. The strongest medication I would take is a Tylenol, and that's fairly infrequent. If I can get a hold of an ice pack, I'll lie in an ice pack. I have a little massage device that I put on my back that just loosens up some of the muscles. And, you know, sometimes I'll do writing. We suggest to people that they do a process called free writing, which is actually just take a paper and a pen and start writing whatever comes out. It's not for any purpose other than to get the thoughts and feelings out on paper and then throw them away. Don't read them. It's called free writing or expressive writing. And, you know, that's about 10 different measures that, I personally do in a very short order that it can be done. You know, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to have special equipment for that.
Yeah. This is Dr. Mel Pohl, who specializes in chronic pain, treating people with chronic pain, and has written this book, The Pain Antidote, which is absolutely terrific. And from his work in Las Vegas at the clinic, he has seen what works and what doesn't work in his own practice, and is also an expert, written 15 books on addiction. So he knows about that too and how that can happen to so many trying to endure chronic pain. So this thing about, I've heard people talk about this and I never can quite understand it. There's a meditation practice of going to the area that is in pain and softening around it.
Yeah.
You talk about this. Can you explain how that goes?
Yes. It's really the opposite of resistance. When we notice pain and get tight, and I'm clenching my fist as I describe this, and everybody knows what that's like. That's sort of a human response to protect against the pain. Well, think about what's happening in the back when you're clenching your fist and clenching your brain. What's happening is you're sending alert signals down to the muscles, which are, you know, sort of reverberating in the brain where the pain is sensed, and the net effect is that there's more pain. The meditative practice you referred to is an old Buddhist practice where basically with your breath, you just allow whatever is present to be present. No judgment, no attempt to change anything. In fact, actually leaning into to whatever the strong feeling is. And what we find with proper instruction is and proper practice, because this doesn't come naturally, is that the experience, the suffering that's associated with the pain really diminishes when you allow it to just be there without any judgment, without the story about, oh, I'm going to be in a wheelchair, or oh, I'm going to have a crappy day, or I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z, but simply, back's really tight right at the moment. Let's see what I can do about that. And this allow the breath to flow, and the average improvement in pain after doing, and what I describe is actually called the body scan. And we describe it in the book. It's it's been described many times by many people, but Jon Kabat-Zinn is a Buddhist teacher up in the Northeast in Massachusetts who has taught this all around the country in a program called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. In an 8-week course, he teaches people how to meditate and their lives get better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he worked with the patients at the hospital that they couldn't do anything with and had tremendous success. So stay with us right now, Dr. Pohl. We're going to take a short break so we can tell you how to send this book to your door. We're happy to do that. It is our thank you gift to you for supporting everything you hear on WNPR. And I hope you will call right now. Bring your charge card to the phone because I really think this is an amazing book. It has been incredibly helpful to me, not only on behalf of friends. I don't experience chronic pain right now, some ongoing discomforts, but I can live with those. So, but I know that most of us are likely to face it at some point, and I want to be prepared. Some listening right now, you know what this is like, whether it's a football injury or a car accident, whatever it is. Toll free, 1-800-584-2688. Please call now.
The number again, 1-800-584-2788. You can also go online to WNPR.org. Look for the donate button. There you can see information about the Pain Antidote book. And again, it's the Pain Antidote, the proven program to help you stop suffering from chronic pain, avoid addiction to painkillers, and reclaim your life by Dr. Mel Pohl. Faith, I was struck earlier as you were talking to Dr. Pohl in the earlier segment when you had asked about the concept of, well, people want to know, is this pain real? Is it actual physical pain or is it in my mind? And his answer was, yes. And it's such a striking answer because people, we're trained to think about pain in certain ways. And it seems like Dr. Pohl is trying to break some of those down, help people to understand what it means to have chronic pain, both for those who maybe don't suffer from it or people who are learning what this means for them and how to deal with it. And he's not offering to take the place of your doctor or your medical treatment. He's just offering techniques and solutions to help you learn to manage and hopefully reduce and eliminate your suffering from this pain. There's no quick fix. There's no miracle cure. It's thought out approaches to help people with chronic pain to manage this without falling into the trap of opioid addiction, which, as you were just talking to Dr. Pohl, can even make the condition worse. So it's such a valuable tool. I think it could be helpful both for people who suffer from chronic pain and those who know someone who suffers from chronic pain to, you know, understand what's happening there. So there's so much to be found in this book. We can send it along to you for your gift right now of $6 a month by calling 1-800-584-2788.
In the book, there are the whole second half are responses to the first half where they're describing what's going on in the brain and the body. They know from scans, from new research, that this is not your fault. This is what happens. This is what the brain and body do when you've had this injury and the pain is chronic. But here now in the second half of the book are things that you can do in response. And that is so helpful for so many things, actually. You know, it's all about the power of the mind to have some effect on this. Dr. Pohl is not saying, I can cure your pain. I can make it go away. You know, he would be on Mount Olympus if he could do that. But you can have your life back. It is a privilege to send this to you. 1-800-584-2788.
Faith, you know, when you were talking before about what it's like for people dealing with this and the effect that it can have on them and the sort of trap that people can fall into where the pain starts to define them and they get lost in this depression. And I think people, even if you're casually aware, you understand that these effects that chronic pain can have on somebody and how tiring and just draining and depressing it can be. But what I found interesting was Dr. Pohl talking about that that's a two-way street because not only can the pain lead to those conditions, but those added symptoms from the pain can change your experience of the pain, how your mental state and your emotions affect your experience of pain, and teaching people to break that cycle, to get out of that, to hopefully stop this, you know, downward spiral of more pain and more depression and more pain, so that people, as you said, can start to gain their life back, that the pain doesn't have to be the defining thing about them anymore. And it's so powerful, this idea. And again, not a quick fix, not, oh, as you said, he's not offering a miracle cure. I can just take your pain away. He's saying, I can at least help you reclaim your life so that this isn't the defining, you know, experience that you have.
Well said.
And you can send this book along to you. Again, as I said, so powerful. If you want to get it for yourself or maybe send it along to somebody else that you think, you know, would be beneficial for just a gift of $6 a month by calling 1-800-584-2788 or going online to WNPR.org, where, as I said, you can see a picture of the cover of the book and get more information about it. But make your contribution today to support Faith, and we'll be happy to send this book along to you as our way of saying thank you. 1-800-584-2788.
And thanks. I'm Faith Middleton. I want to say thank you to our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. And the book we're talking about is The Pain Antidote. And Dr. Mel Pohl is the co-author with Catherine Ketchum. He is a specialist in treating chronic pain and the addiction that sometimes accompanies this. He works in Las Vegas and has put all of his work into this book. Describes the whole pain response, the biology of it, what's going on in the brain, and gets, I think, certainly me to understand that this is not your fault if you're someone with chronic pain, and that there, through the power of the mind, there are things you can do. So, Dr. Pohl, I remember when I had that car accident so long ago, how powerful my mind was in trying to convince me that my life would never be the same, that this would never change, And that was such a depressing thought. I was so scared about that. And it, after reading your book, I think, oh, my God, this is so common with pain. The brain is hijacked.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of this is sort of a subject to the way we were trained, if you will, as in growing up. I mean, certain people have a tendency to what we call catastrophize, which is if it's, let's say it's your accident, you know, it becomes, that's all you think about. So there's a phenomenon called rumination, and there's a sense of helplessness and ineffectiveness, you know, and we really do, certain people more than others, have a way about us of really making things worse than they are. And what's really fascinating, we've been talking about the brain a lot, there's actually circuitry in the brain that promotes that, that way of thinking. So what I'm really saying is that certain people are either born with a tendency to catastrophize and to really feel pain more than other people. Other people might not have been born with it, but they're exposed to serious trauma, and whether it's an accident or a sexual assault or witnessing some horror in combat, and that causes the brain to respond differently to stimuli, and it's actually like turning the volume knob up inside the center part of the brain where we feel pain. That actually describes what many people have a condition called fibromyalgia, which we address directly in the book, which is just a heightened sensitivity to touch.
You mentioned journaling before and this emotion chart that you talked about. And there's one example where when you looked at this person journaling over a period of time, writing down all these thoughts and feelings. Earlier you said, you know, just throw them away. But in this journal you were describing, you said you could see as time went on these person's thoughts changing right there on paper.
Right. So two different techniques to describe. One is journaling. Journaling is writing with some sort of a purpose and mission and saving the writings, cataloging and reflecting, or using those journal entries either to answer questions that might be assigned by a therapist or a counselor or a trusted friend or a doctor, but also to be able to review them from time to time over the course of a period of time. Free writing is a different process. Free writing is taking a piece of paper, as I described, writing whatever comes down without punctuation. If curse words show up, that's perfectly fine. And when you get to wherever the words stop, when sometimes I'll write two or three pages, but when you hit the end of the page, don't go back and reread it. It's not to be saved. It's to be discarded. So rip it up. I rip it up into 100 pages or put it in the shredder. And both are valid techniques. Some people, you know, one of the reasons the book is as long as it is that we have lots of different techniques, and some work for some people some of the time, some work differently, and most have to be practiced fairly diligently. You know, that's one of the challenges to doing this work, is that there's not a simple fix for this very, very complicated problem.
Yeah. You sometimes talk with your patients about what things mean something to them, how they can find meaning in their lives. And you discuss in the book a lot of questions that if you're in chronic pain, you can ask yourself. Can we talk about that?
Right. So we're really talking about, rather than the pain, what do you want to do with your life? So, I mean, the best example is a gentleman who came in and was very focused on his pain, was really angry that he couldn't do things. And I said, well, what do you want to do? You know, what would make you happy? He said, I want to take my grandchildren fishing. You know, I have a little toddler. I want to carry him to the riverbed and be able to teach him how to fish. So we talked about how could he possibly do that activity with his back pain. And he had neck pain and a condition called spinal stenosis. Mm. And he said, well, you know, I can't, because I can't stand and I can't lift. And I said, well, what if you brought somebody with you to carry your grandson? and brought a chair, a camp chair, to sit by the riverside, you know, while you're holding the post. And he said, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, I'd be look like a wuss.
Mm.
And that was where we did our work, was what's the problem with looking less cool? You know, do you want to give up your life in exchange for how you look and being embarrassed? And the light bulb went on, and he realized that he wanted to do these things in his life. Another patient wanted to go hiking. When we have data that shows us that if we identify something that's valuable to us and commit to doing that valuable activity, pain scores go down and the significance of the pain lessens. So, you know, I would encourage your listeners to really identify not what you can't do because of the pain, but what do you want to do and how can you create it in your life rather than this all be about loss.
This is Dr. Mel Pohl, and he is co-author of The Pain Antidote, and he is a specialist in treating chronic pain. So we had a family physician from Hartford on the show, and I said to him, what is your definition of health? And he said, I think adjusting to the circumstances you're in, the ability to do that, whether you have a little tiny thing wrong with you or you're dying.
Yeah.
And he said, those are the patients that I see have the greatest health. And it was like a light bulb going off for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So
yeah.
I think that's what you're getting at by listing these questions in the book. If you didn't have this pain, how would your life be different?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want your life to stand for? How do you resist change in your life?
Yeah.
You know,
I just we're not quite at the end of our time, but we're close. And the final chapter, when Kathy and I really sat down to write it, it's quite short. And we have what we think is the pain antidote. And I'm just going to say them off, which is awareness, which is sort of noticing what's going on, courage and diligence to apply the techniques, hope that things are going to change, faith in the process, and in a power other than your own personal process. And then joy and wonder are really key factors. We lose our joy when we get medicated up and consumed by the pain. And then compassion for others. One of the most powerful things that I see in pain recovery is people getting involved with other people and sitting next to someone and saying, you had how many operations? Boy, you know, I only had 4. I thought I was in bad shape. You had 12.
Mm.
So connection is really one of the components of the antidote, because people become so self-centered and lost in their pain that they just never really have a quality of life.
Are there ever sort of chronic pain groups that meet someplace in a room and sit together? Does that go on?
It's not easy to find, Faith. We actually started a group here in Las Vegas called the Pain and Recovery Support Group. It's not in most communities.
Mm.
There's groups like Pills Anonymous, or there is Chronic Pain Anonymous, but they hardly have meetings in most communities. So it's going to take somebody's effort to really get together, or a clinician would run a group that would be inclusive of chronic pain sufferers. So it is a challenge, because it really, people benefit from being involved with other people. No question about it.
So when you talk about that list you just read and the joy and all that, mm-hmm. if someone has chronic pain, may be on strong meds, who knows, but is really overwhelmed by this, I could see that searching of, but give me, where do I begin? What is my first step?
Even the approach of the book, I mean, we got overwhelmed. You know, who's going to be able to do all this stuff? So we actually have in one of the latter chapters a jumpstart mm-hmm. plan. So what are 7 areas of function that I might impact, and how will I impact them? And, you know, one of the things is you got to get moving. So people who are immobilized physically by the pain have to get moving, whether it's from here to the bathroom or from here to the mailbox or around the corner, and, you know, gradually increase that movement. People have to pay attention to what they're putting in their bodies and what they're not putting in their bodies. So there are good nutritious substances that will benefit people with chronic pain, and there are toxins, nicotine and caffeine are 2 of the big ones. Getting good sleep and figuring out how to do that is one of the other areas. And then the thought journal that we talked about mm-hmm. has to do with how I think about pain, and then paying attention to breathing and meditative practices is one of the others. So, you know, you can grab onto some of those techniques, and if it's too overwhelming, pick one. And just work with one. Baby steps is totally appropriate. You know, this is not a process that's going to reverse itself in short order. It's going to take time and significant effort and energy.
Dr. Pohl, thank you so much for your work and for writing this book. To you and Catherine Ketchum, thank you very much.
Such an honor to be here. Thanks.
Dr. Mel Pohl, author of The Pain Antidotes, what we've been talking about in this hour. And you can certainly listen again online if you'd like at WNPR.org, The Faith Middleton Show. But the far more than we could get to in our conversation is in this book, and it is absolutely terrific, a four-week jumpstart plan. The toll-free number is 1-800-584-2788. Bring your charge card with you. If you can make a contribution here of $6 a month, this is our thank you gift to you. If not for you, someone you care about, you know, who is dealing with chronic pain. I can't imagine this book would not be helpful. 1-800-584-2788.
The number again, 1-800-584-2788. You can also go online at WNPR.org, where you can see more information about the book from Dr. Pohl. Again, it's The Pain Antidote Book, the proven program to help you stop suffering from chronic pain, avoid addiction to painkillers, and reclaim your life. And as you just said, Faith, I think it's important to note now that we're at this point, you've only started to scratch the surface of what is in this book. And it underscores the fact what we were saying before, this is not a quick fix. This is not a miracle cure. It's a thought-out, proven approach to help those suffering with chronic pain to understand their suffering, understand what is happening in their bodies and in their minds, and how to start to move forward through, you know, adaptive change, through meditation, through learning a bunch of adaptive techniques to minimize the suffering of the pain. You know, there is work to put in, but if you're willing to do that, you can start to end the cycle of pain that you're in and hopefully start to mitigate some of your suffering and reclaim your life back and not be defined by this chronic pain that you're suffering from. If this sounds like something that would be helpful to you, then we so encourage you, go online to WNPR.org, look for that donate button. There you will see more information about the Pain Antidote book. Again, we're happy to send it along to you for a gift of just $6 a month. You can call 1-800-584-2788. Faith, I was just struck looking at the beginning of the book. I think it's so telling. If you look at the table of contents in the front, you can see the book is separated into three sections: understanding, overcoming, and then moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect path that I think this book is trying to lay out for you. Is like, here's a way forward from what you know right now, how you can start to make some changes, how you can learn about what's going on, and how you can then start to overcome it and start to move beyond your current reality. So again, if this sounds valuable to you, by supporting the programming here at a gift of just $6 a month, we're happy to send it along to you. 1-800-584-2788.
Oh, again, Michael Palmer, beautifully said. And I love Dr. Pohl's idea and approach that this is not your fault, and it's not that you have wildly mishandled this. This is what the brain does with chronic pain that causes all of us to get in some kind of a loop, hard to get out, and you feel completely out of control, I gather. And so this is a plan to maybe get back some of the control in little steps, and that increase over time. And this four-week jumpstart plan, pretty amazing information in here. The Pain Antidote by Dr. Mel Pohl. And here's the toll-free number once again. We repeat it because people are piling into the show every few minutes. And so we ask your forgiveness for doing that. And thanks for your patience, I guess, is what I'm saying. Here's the toll-free number. You can go online to WNPR.org and click the button in the top right hand to see this, to get this. Toll-free right now, 1-800, or when you get to where you're going, 1-800-584-2788.
1-800-584-2788. Faith, we often hear that people say we actually need to repeat the number more often and more clearly. So we're actually doing people a service who want to support. So 1-800-584-2788 is the number. You can go online to WNPR.org. Again, look for that donate button in the upper right. There we have the information about the book. Again, for just a gift of $6 a month, we're happy to send it along to you. You know, Faith, it was something that you got to in the very first segment of the show, and you just touched on it again, and it was this idea of understanding what the effect that chronic pain has on people, how it affects your mental state, how your mental state affects pain, and understand that examining those aspects, examining the mental effect, how you think about the pain, how you feel about the pain can exacerbate sometimes and worsen the chronic pain is not about victim blaming. It's not about, you know, trying to make someone feel bad, because obviously the whole point is to try to help people feel better. It's that through that understanding, you can change your outlook on the pain and understand it does not have to control you. And that, I think, is so powerful. And it's why I think this book is going to speak to so many people and why we're happy to bring it to them right now and give you this chance to get it for yourself by supporting the programs here. So again, just $6 a month, and we will send it along to you. 1-800-584-2788 is the number to call, or make your donation online at WNPR.org.
And thanks.